This is Grant Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Michael Cannon, Director of Health Policy Studies at the Cato Institute here in Washington. We want to get his insights on the real cost of the bill that was passed earlier in the week by the Senate Finance Committee and get his reaction to the suggestion from Blue Dog Democrat Mike Ross of Arkansas that the real solution to the whole public option dilemma is really just to open up Medicare to everyone. And Michael, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with the analysis you did on the Baucus bill. You say the scoring by the Congressional Budget Office of $829 billion and a deficit savings of $81 billion is simply not realistic for three different reasons. And I want you to explain for our listeners each of them briefly, starting with the idea that there are certain cost savings in this bill that Baucus says will happen that you say have no realistic hope of happening.
Well, the CBO's analysis of that bill was completely honest. The problem is the bill itself is dishonest. And here's why. The bill says that in 2012, the federal government will allow Medicare cuts to take effect, cuts that have been on the books every year since 2003, and that every year since 2003, Congress has blocked. Senator Baucus saves about $234 billion by assuming that Congress will let those cuts take effect, even though everyone knows that Congress will not let those cuts take effect. So as you may have noticed, if you've been following the math so far, that completely obviates or just washes away any savings, any deficit reduction that the bill claims it will deliver. And the Congressional Budget Office noted this. They said that, yes, if the bill takes effect exactly as it's written, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, then it will reduce the deficit by $81 billion over 10 years. But the CBO said what everyone knows, which is that Congress makes changes to current law like those Medicare cuts that are supposed to take place, but it doesn't let happen. And so in essence, what the Congressional Budget Office said was, yes, this bill will reduce the deficit provided the sun rises in the west every year from 2012 through 2019. So it's not going to reduce the deficit. Then there's this other figure that everyone's talking about, $829 billion being the cost of this bill. Again, the CBO was very honest. They said that's the cost of all the new insurance subsidies, all the coverage expansions. But they never said that that was the full cost of the bill. And it's not for two reasons. One, there are other costs that the CBO tallied up. Some of them were new forms of spending other than expanding coverage, like increasing some physician payments for a couple of years. Then there were mandates that this bill would impose on state governments. This bill would require state governments to cough up $33 billion over the next 10 years. You add up all that stuff, and already you're at about $937 billion rather than $829. But it doesn't even stop there, because something that the CBO didn't even mention in this cost estimate, but that it will have to address when it does a final official cost estimate of the legislation that is moving through Congress, is the cost that it would impose on the private sector. And this is the biggest gimmick that Max Baucus has used to hide the cost of his bill and that every other author of every one of these other bills has used. By forcing Americans to spend their own money on health insurance rather than having the government tax that money from them and spend it on health insurance itself, they're able to push those taxes off of the federal budget. You still have to spend your money the way the government says, but that spending that you're doing doesn't show up in the federal budget because of the way they wrote these private sector mandates. And so right now we're left without a solid estimate of how much those private sector mandates are going to cost. But in Massachusetts, they've already enacted what the president wants to enact at the national level. And the people who crunch the numbers about Massachusetts, a group called the Massachusetts Taxpayers Foundation, they've estimated that the private sector mandates cost or account for 60% of the cost of that government takeover. So if the same ratio applies here on the national level, then that suggests that this bill the Baucus bill isn't going to cost $937 billion. It's going to cost more than $2 trillion over the next 10 years, and it'll still only cover about one half of the uninsured.
Michael, you mentioned that the CBO scored the bill honestly, but how does common sense get factored in when giving the American people a real clear picture of what the actual price tag is?
Well, I'm trying to inject as much common sense as I can, and I think that the problem is that the CEO has a specific mandate from Congress, which is we want you to look at the bills and tell us how much they're going to cost as written. And the CBO is doing its best to be honest and to tip off the rest of the world as to what's going on by saying, look, this is only if it stays the way it is, and we all know that it's not going to stay the way it is. And in fact, the problem is worse than just those specific cuts that I mentioned. There are about $500 billion worth of spending reductions in Medicare and Medicaid in this legislation. Never mind the cuts to physician payments. There's another $500 billion in cuts. And those aren't going to materialize either. And the reason is Congress will pass this legislation, and they'll do it over the objections of hospitals and home health agencies and other people who are going to get hit by these cuts. But then the doctors and the hospitals and the home health agencies and the pharmaceutical companies and the medical device manufacturers, they'll all come back to Congress next year and say, wow, those cuts are really hurting us. Could you push those costs off down the road for a couple of years so they don't affect us this year? And then they'll come back and they'll do it again, and they'll do it again. And so what will happen is we will get a bill. All the taxes will stay right. They'll take effect on day one, and they'll stay in place. The spending cuts, those will be pushed off down the road. The savings will not materialize. And so we'll have blown an even bigger hole in the deficit, and then Congress is going to come back in some future year and say, you know what, we're going to need to raise taxes to make up the gap here. We're going to need to enact something like a value-added tax like they have in Europe so that Americans can pay European-level tax rates. And there are already people in Washington who are pushing for that sort of an outcome, who are pushing for a European-style value-added tax in the United States as the only way to pay for existing government programs and for healthcare reform.
We're talking with Michael Cannon of the Cato Institute. And Michael, of course, on the Democratic side, some have even likened it to a civil war because there's a huge fight over whether to have the public option or not to, although conservative critics say whether you go with the co-op or the trigger or the public option, it all is going to end up in single payer eventually. Now down here on the moderate end, we've got Mike Ross of Arkansas. He calls himself a Blue Dog Democrat, one of the leaders of that coalition, announced he wasn't for a public option, but instead now wants to expand Medicare to basically serve as that public option. What do you make of that?
Well, first of all, I don't know what a public option is. I don't know what's not public about private health insurance. Any member of the public can, you know, go apply for private health insurance, and if they qualify, they can enroll. So what I know is that Democrats are trying to create a new government-run health insurance program. And they're trying to create one that will compete with private insurance because they know that they will be able to subsidize their government-run program, undercut private insurance premiums, and drive private insurers out of business, giving the government a monopoly over health insurance, even though it offers an inferior product to private health insurance. Amid all of this, with the Blue Dog Democrats saying that that's not where we want to take health insurance in America, Mike Ross of Arkansas, a Blue Dog Democrat, a moderate who's been pushing back against this government-run health plan, said, well, maybe we could just expand the biggest disaster of a government-run program to all of the uninsured. Well, that essentially is what the Progressive Caucus wants, so I'm sure that they will embrace this idea. They would much rather have Medicare for all than create a new government program. And so I don't think that's a solution at all to our problems. The Medicare program is a model of an irresponsible and poorly managed and expensive government program. This thing has an unfunded liability of about $80 or $90 trillion. That's $1,000 billion goes into $1 trillion, and Medicare has 80 of those in unfunded liabilities. Medicare, since it was enacted, never. The Democrats say that the progressives, the folks who want a new government program to compete with the private sector, they say that program will compete on a level playing field because it'll be paid for entirely by premiums. The Medicare program was supposed to be paid for, or 50% of physician spending under Medicare was supposed to be covered by worker premiums, but that's fallen to 25% because politicians like handing out goodies to senior citizens. Those goodies they're handing out are our tax dollars. So that since Medicare was enacted in 1965, it has required one tax increase every 4 years just to keep the program afloat. And that still isn't keeping the program afloat. It's going to require more tax increases. In fact, the CBO has said that just to pay for existing government programs, mostly Medicare and Medicaid, by mid-century, income tax rates in the United States would have to double. So it's going to require even more tax rates. And so what Congressman Ross is suggesting is that we should bring more people onto this Titanic as it's going down. That makes absolutely no sense. And we haven't even started talking about the quality problems that Medicare has created for people.
Michael, so many different aspects of this. I'm sure we'll be talking again soon. Thank you so much for your time today.
You bet.
Michael Cannon is Director of Health Policy Studies at the Cato Institute here in Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.